We are in the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, verse 11. And I love this. I love this book. The book of Ephesus, or the book of Ephesians, was written to Ephesus. And it was the primary theme through the book is the church. And I want you to know how important the church is to Jesus Christ. It seems like today the church is becoming less and less relevant to people's lives. But I want you to know God and to Christ, the church is so important. The Bible says that He gave Himself for the church. And He works in the church, or through the church. And the church is important. And as we began in the book of Ephesians, we seen chapters 1, and now we're in chapter 2. It kind of starts bringing it together as the introduction, or the end of the introduction. And here's the thing about chapters 1 and the beginning of chapter 2. It is to serve to remind us of where we come from. What we are. To remind us that we are Christian, or that we are saved, not because of our own doing or because of our own work, because we were just like the rest of the world at one time. We were just like the rest of the world at one time. Well, Brother Willie, I wouldn't have never done that. Let me tell you something. You don't know what you'll do if it wasn't for the grace of God. That's what Paul said. Paul said, if it weren't for the grace of God, therefore go I, or something to those effects. And folks, let me tell you, in the second chapter of Ephesians, he begins to, in verses 1 through 10, he tells us, for it's by grace that we're saved. It's not because of something we've done, but it's because of what God does. Now, in chapter 2, verse 10, he begins with this idea, and I want to read it just to remind us before we go on to verse 11. But verse 10 says this: "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Let me tell you something, folks. Them good works that the Bible's speaking of, they were before ordained, before God even saved you. He had a plan for your life. Those good works. And He says that we're ordained that we should walk in them. He has a path for us. He has a plan. He has a path. He has a destination for us. And that's to be with Him. You know, you want something to get you excited this morning about this stuff about God? If you just think that your destiny, after that you're saved, your place where you are going to wind up is with God Himself. I'm like you. I'm going to be forever in His presence. Now, verse 11. Starts off with what we're here for. Can I just say before we really get started reading this morning, anytime you see a word like wherefore or therefore, they always mean the same thing. You gotta go back and you gotta look at what came before. The old saying, if you see the word wherefore or therefore, you ought to go back and look what it is there for. Amen? To find out what he's talking about. There is no secret to interpreting the Word of God. God's Word is written in such a way, God is not trying to hide stuff from us. But you got to study. You got to go back. You got to look. You got to figure out who He's talking to. Well, when He's talking. Who He's talking to. These kind of things. what the subject is, who he, what he's talking about. I want to caution you this morning that it's very easy to take one scripture and lift it out of context and try to make it mean something that it's not supposed to mean. You've got to look at the Word of God. It's just like a conversation. You take a word or two that somebody said. That's why it's so dangerous to listen to sound bites on the evening news. You can lift out some little section of what somebody said and it's totally taken out of context. You got to be careful with that. Now let's read a little bit this morning. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11. He says, "Wherefore, remember that ye, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision, by that which is called circumcision in the flesh, made with hands." Okay, you gotta look up here for a second. What are you talking about? He's saying that you folks that were not of the Jewish nation. That's what he's talking about. It's no more deeper than that. It's no more disguised than that. That's what he's talking about. Now, can I put it on a little spiritual level here and bring it to where he's talking about here? Now, he's using Israel as an example. And so let's spiritualize it just a little bit and say, you know, before you were saved, you were lost like everybody else. Now, that's what he's getting to. Verse 12. "That at that time ye were without Christ, being alien from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world." You see, that's what he's saying we were before we got saved, before we trusted Christ. The Bible says plainly that all are sinners. All fall short of the glory of God. That's where we were. That was our position. Verse 13. But now, in Christ Jesus, verse 13. "But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments ordained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were not. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore, ye are no more strangers or foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly formed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Brother Bobby, would you lead our hearts?
Heavenly Father God, we just thank you, Lord, again for this day and some many blessings, Father. We just ask you to bless us. Bless us, Father, Brother Willie's prayer, Lord. We just ask you to lead him this morning, Father, as he delivers you message. Lord, we just pray now, Lord, that you just watch over all law enforcement. Keep them safe, Lord, as they're going about their jobs, Father. We just pray, Lord, that you help them to make it back to their families, Lord, every day. Lord, we just ask you to help us today, Father, as we in this place, Lord, to turn our hearts and our minds towards you, Lord, to truly worship you this morning, Father. We just thank you again. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Now, I love this particular part of Scripture. One of my favorite scriptures is talking about that you talk about salvation is in chapter 2, verse 8, 9, and then verse 10. I think that particular part of the Scripture puts our position in Christ in perfect focus, that we're saved by grace through faith, and that it's not of ourselves, it is the gift of God. And then we are created unto good works. So he's saying salvation comes because of what Jesus done for us, but good works are because of what we are in Christ, or who we are in Christ, not to become who we are in Christ. The becoming was Jesus Christ. You don't get saved by good works, folks. You don't even get a better salvation by good works. Amen? And I use that example here about a tomato plant. A tomato plant that grows tomatoes, it's not growing a tomato to become a tomato plant. It grows tomatoes because that's what it is. That's what it does, an apple tree. It grows apples because that's what it is. Amen? What would be amazing is to see an apple tree grow a tomato. Amen? That would be amazing. But it's nothing amazing to see an apple tree grow apples because that's what it is. And folks, that's how it ought to be with us as children of God. We are created unto good works, or to produce good works. That's what we are. That's when we do the things that we do. Now, and starting in verse 11 in our text today, verse 11 and 12, it reminds us, now therefore, remember who we were. We were at some time distant from God. We didn't know God. You got news for you. There was a time in your life you weren't even interested in learning about God. Until the Holy Spirit taps on your shoulder and draws you to the Father. By the way, that's not predestination, because I can tell you this. The Holy Spirit comes and troubles every heart. Amen. And he draws every man. The Bible says over in John where it says, If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself. Folks, that's what he's talking about. He's talking about the fact if I'm crucified, if I'm sacrificed, I will, through the Holy Spirit, draw all men unto me. Folks, everybody's drawn. The grace that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto every man. It's not predestination as far as what some call predestination. It's what God has done on our behalf. And he has died. Jesus died for every person that ever was born, that ever is born, or that ever will be born. The blood of Christ is big enough to satisfy all the wrath. But now in Christ, Jesus, verse 13, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh to the blood of Christ. Amen. So, can I tell you something? That the only way that you get saved is through the blood of Christ. It's through the sacrifice of Jesus. 2,000 years ago on the cross, but it was as if it was made before the foundation of the world. Folks, that's a God thing. God's done it. God's doing it. God will do it. Amen. He has promised salvation to all that believe. Now, here's something that I want us to see. Is that our walk with God is relationship walk. He says here in this verse, in, what was it, verse 13, he says, the last part of that verse says, are made nigh, are near, are close. Another place we read a while ago, it said that we were made of the household of God. God has brought us into this family, and He's made us part of His family. His relationship. It's where I am with Christ. He didn't just save me. You know, people got the idea nowadays of God is that He's this omnipotent being, all-powerful being out there, but He's not concerned about the little things. Folks, let me tell you something. He was concerned about me. He is concerned about you. He is concerned about the individual as well as the crowd. Amen. One time I had a conversation with a guy. He was witnessing somebody. After it was over with, I talked to him. But yeah, win them one at a time. He said, I'd rather win them 1,000 at a time. I said, you might, but Jesus only saves them one at a time. You think about that. You think about what it means for one person to get saved. In the Bible, we're told on one occasion that around 5,000 got saved during the church. Was being part of the church. Another place, 3,000. I'll tell you what, that preacher was a lot water bottle by the time he got baptized and all them. Amen? But out of that crowd, you know what? Brother Darrell, he saved each and every person as an individual. God doesn't mass save folks. He might save them in a wad, but He died for each one. And each one had to get saved. Now, let me tell you, in verse 14, it says something that just thrills my heart. Because in the world that we live in today, how we need to hear this part of the message, and that He is the peace of our heart. Look what it says in verse 14. For He is our peace. The Bible speaks of two kinds of peace to God. It's very good. He says we can have peace with God. That's a lost person that's without hope, that has dread on their life, that doesn't know the security of being part of God's family. Once they get saved, once they come to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, the Bible says that we have the peace with God. Jesus Christ, and it goes on a little bit in the next few verses about this, Jesus Christ has made peace with God the Father. With God. God is holy. God cannot have sin before Him or in His presence. And the blood of Christ has made us reconciled or balanced or acceptable to God. Bringing us peace. The Bible says it's a terrible thing to fall into the hand of an angry God. I tell you what, we can sit there and park on that for just a little bit because people don't think God is paying attention anymore. But it's a dangerous thing to fall in the hands of an angry God. But I thank God that 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ came and He shed His blood to make an atonement for me, to make peace with God. Then there's the peace of God. The Bible says the peace of God, it passes. It's so talking about how great it is, it passes all understanding. We don't understand it. But But let me tell you, when we have the peace with God, it opens up the door with the peace of God that operates in the children of God's life. And with the peace of God, you can face anything. And it don't rattle you. Brother Terry, I'm not there yet. Sometimes I get rattled. But let me tell you, when I get rattled, and it happens, I can look to Jesus. You know, the disciples, several times they got in the boat and they were going to the other side of the sea. Jesus said, let's go to the other side. And while they were going, a great storm coming up. They were rattled. One time Jesus was asleep in the back of the boat. The waves were hitting the boat so hard, the water was coming into the boat, but Jesus was asleep during the storm. That's a picture of peace right there, isn't it? My wife says I can sleep through storms like that. I don't know, but Jesus was sleeping. He was just... They woke him up, asking perhaps the dumbest question ever been asked. He said, Lord, cares not that thou that we perish. Jesus gets up, speaks to the storm. The storm stops. He brings peace. Another time we find the disciples are going on a trip across the about 3 o'clock in the morning. Jesus comes walking across. The storm was raging, and Jesus come walking across on the water. I remember that. The disciple looked over there and said, it's a spirit. And tell you something, that's a shame that a lot of times we get in the storms of life, and Jesus comes walking by, and we don't even recognize him as Jesus Christ. Peter said, if it be thou, bid me to come to you. Jesus said, come on. Don't you like how Jesus is never rattled by the storm? He climbed over the edge of that boat. He walked on water. We critical of Peter sometimes, but let me ask you something. When was the last time he took any steps on water? Much less, you know, he started walking out there. I don't know how many steps he took. But Peter got his eyes off of Jesus on the waves, began to sink. How many times have I done that? He said, Lord, save me. Now, Peter could have done that when he was ankle deep, waist deep, the Bible doesn't say, but immediately, as soon as he said, Lord, save me, Jesus reached out, put him back on top of the wave, calmed the wave, he brought peace. And I want you to know what kind of revival we think that was going on back to the boat with Jesus calling on. Amen. All right. The peace of God is Jesus Christ. Now I'm going to stop right there today. And appreciate our law enforcement folks coming and being with us today. And we're going to dismiss and go in there and eat lunch. And we want you to come to the front of the line. We want to give you that honor. We are glad that God is here. All right. With that, would you stand with me? And let's have a song.